to the Creative Pen Podcasts. I'm Joanna Penn, bringing you interviews, inspiration and information on writing, publishing options, internet sales and promotion for your book. The companion website is www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hi everyone, I'm Joanna Penn from thecreativepen.com and today I'm interviewing Johnny B. Truant. Johnny is the author of The Bialy Pimps as well as the epic series of non-fiction kick your ass essays available on Kindle. He is also a popular blogger and internet entrepreneur, appearing on many top sites, and he also has a business building website. So welcome, Johnny.
Hey, Joanna. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you on the show. So why don't you start by telling us a bit more about you and your writing journey?
Yeah, it's been kind of circuitous and a very non-direct path. I always enjoyed writing, and my first love of writing was creative. It was fiction. And what ended up happening was, as I'm sure that we all writers can relate to, that doesn't seem like something that's immediately available as a money-making career choice. It seems like, okay, well, that's a thing you do on the side. That's a hobby, you know? And so I did the thing. I wrote my novel, and I wrote it about 12 or 13 years ago, and I tried to get it published. But then I said, well, so what can I do with this that'll actually make me money? And I started writing copy, and I wrote for a human resources magazine for a while, and just articles for hire. And then I, you know, transitioned away from that and started doing websites because that kind of caught my eye. And when I came back to the internet, of course, that's if you can write well, that's a huge asset on the internet. So I just started writing my blog, and it ended up being nonfiction, businessy sorts of things. And then only when that whole journey was complete did I run into people like Sean Penn and ran into your podcast. And I'm like, oh, well, wait a minute. Maybe there actually is a way to make some progress, if not even a living, with fiction.
Mm. No, and it's really exciting there. And, you know, you talk about copywriting. I mean, of course, a lot of people on this, you know, the audience of this podcast are creative writers as opposed to copywriters. Mm-hmm. And I think there's some massive differences, which we may come back to. But I wanted to specifically ask you. So, I mean, obviously you were in, you know, you wrote this fiction and you've come back to it. And you did mention Sean Penn there. I think you meant Sean Platt.
Oh, did I mention Sean Penn? That's the funny, because I keep thinking that I'm going to make that mistake, and I can't wait to make that mistake on our own thing. But yeah, Sean Platt is who I meant.
So I guess my main question is, you know, why suddenly put this fiction out there when your internet brand is very much nonfiction? It's motivational almost.
Well, I've done a lot of soul searching about that. Like, what is my brand? Because people ask me what it is that I do, and I can't give them an elevator pitch. And that's something that I've talked about with a lot of people, and it's an ongoing thing. And so what I think I've decided is that my brand, I feel, can accommodate something like that. It can accommodate something that's a total change of direction. So I started doing blog setups, and I was blogging about business and kind of humor stuff. Mm. And then I blogged about like how to tech stuff. And then I blogged about challenges and sort of human potential sorts of things. And so my blog itself hasn't had this consistent thing throughout. If it's been anything, it's been questioning norms, questioning the box that we've been in. You mentioned that you did my Question the Rules course, which is about a lot of that. And so one of the things that would be a real rule questioning, breaking out of the box sort of thing for somebody like me to do would be to say, okay, well, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. I'm going to walk my talk, and this is something I want to do, so I'm going to do it. And what the impetus behind that, the thing that made me do it, was I talked to Sean Platt, not Penn, and because he was doing something with he was doing his rollout of Yesterday's Gone with his partner David Wright. And so I did an interview with him for my blog, and I was fascinated because, as you know, your listeners know, Sean has they made a business out of that. Like, somehow they've turned fiction into a business. It's very mechanical and it made a lot of sense. And I sort of said, wow, this is something that maybe I could actually do. But it was, I had this other thing going. I had the business thing going. So I'm like, it's going to be a sideline anyway, but why not do it? And at the same time, I read The War of Art, which I think every writer should read. And it kind of got me thinking, and I'm reading this book and I'm like, that book that I wrote 12 years ago, I have to finish it. Like I have to it. I've got enough distance from it. It was a very personal story. I've got enough distance to kill my darlings, right? And get in there and hack it. And I did. And I went through, I mean, it's like a 550 page book, and I did it in 6 weeks, almost completely rewrote the thing because I was just so on fire. And I just did it in the spirit of what the hell. It's like, I'm going to put this out. I don't expect it to be this whole big, huge thing. And as we're going to talk about, I imagine it hasn't sold millions of copies or anything, but I didn't need it to. It was more important for me to get it out and to work on a slow build.
And that is one of the reasons I wanted you on my podcast, and maybe some people who are listening might not know of you on the internet, but you know, I've been following blogs like Copy Blogger and Itty Biz and things for a couple of years now, and you're pretty big in the, let's say, the blogging world.
Say small business blogging.
Yeah,
sure.
Small business blogging. Your name is out there, so you've got this platform, as they say, and yet you launch this humorous fiction book, and you've done this brilliant post about it, where you've actually said that you've said it's not really done as well as perhaps you would have hoped or liked. So I wondered if you can comment on the difficulty of selling fiction, even when you have as big a platform as you do.
Well, I don't think it'll surprise anybody if the first thing I go with is that my platform isn't fiction readers. I mean, I'm sure they are, like, because I write to an ideal reader, as I think that, a lot of people do. And I think that my ideal reader is a lot like me. And so part of that personality is they have my sense of humor and they like funny stuff. And so I think that they're receptive in that, but that's not primarily what they're there for. So my platform is sort of skewed, and that's the thing where we talk about, do we talk to writers or do we talk to readers? And of course it makes sense to talk to readers when you can. Now, that being said, I got a lot of people interested in at least checking out what I had going on, just sort of from a curiosity factor, because I don't know if this is presumptuous or not, but I think that a lot of people who like my blog like me. I don't think it's the information that they're looking for. And they're hopefully looking for the information too, but that's a commodity. You can find that other places. And so a lot of my readers make a connection with me more than with anything else. So I launched it for free, and that's what that post describes. Maybe I'll link to it in the show notes, sort of explaining what it is that I did. But I launched it as a free promo. And my thinking on that was, I have all these people who are probably interested in this book, and I'm giving those sales away by making it free. But I figure if I'm going to have some sort of a jump start through the free promo, these are the people I wanted to get it free. And it did okay. I got 1,200 or something. I don't remember exactly the free downloads in the 2-day, I think it was a 2-day launch. I don't remember. And I was pleased with that, considering that I had no reach otherwise and I wasn't in the algorithm yet. So I wasn't showing up anywhere other than people that I directly pushed it to. And after that, it kind of tailed off, and it sells about one a day on average, which isn't terribly impressive. But that's okay, because I haven't done my real second push. I haven't done my long-term plan. And that's what I think is neat about fiction, is that books are more or less evergreen. And so if I'm promoting this book for 20 years mildly, that's okay. Like, that will work.
And I like
it. I don't know if I answered your question.
No, it's great. It's great. Because what you said is exactly why a lot of people are, like me as well, are into self-publishing, because there is no limited shelf space. And what I think I find it's slightly disturbing is still that people get all nuts about a launch, whereas actually we don't have to focus on this big launch like the internet marketers focus on a big launch. It can be this ongoing thing over time. So I love that you're saying that. So what are you thinking for fiction marketing then, as opposed to the way you've done non-fiction marketing?
Well, I'm doing a lot of learning from people like you who've done it for sure. This is one area where I'm not going to try and be a know-it-all. I don't know a lot about it. Sort of my ongoing plan is literally ongoing. I plan on having that book out. I plan on writing more books. I have a project that I'm working on right now. I plan on building my audience through other means and always having that as something that I'm putting in front of them. It's at the end of all my blog posts. It's in my sidebar. With Sean Platt and David Wright, we've started a podcast. Now, again, that's talking to writers, but it will be mentioned in there. And it's something that I just plan on continually feeding out into the world. Now, I did have an idea, and I don't know if I'm going to do this or not. It just shows how quickly things change, is I wanted to do kind of a blog blitz where I would mention it in a bunch of places that I have access to that have large, you know, because I write on some of the big blogs. So if I write something and I promote something in whatever capacity they allow, then I can expect some surge, and maybe I could time that with another free promo or something like that. But those are all very casual. It's like you said, I think that anybody who has an understanding of marketing has a huge advantage if they move into fiction, because they understand the process rather than just, I'm going to write, people are going to love it. And you know, you have to market. But what handicaps us, especially on the internet, is exactly that mentality that you mentioned, where the launch week mentality, which says what I make during this week is what I make. Like, I don't make anything past launch week. And if you move backwards and say, okay, well, we don't need to think that way. You know, we can just have something that goes out over time, and then I add a second book, and then those two are working over time, and I add a third book, and those are working over time. That's sort of my anti-marketing plan.
No, and I like that. And I like your sentiment of the whole question, the rules and all of that, because I think you almost have to reinvent yourself when you do fiction, coming from where you've been. But yet, let's also talk about these sort of mini epic ebooks, epic series, mini ebooks that you're putting on Kindle. And you actually said that they're doing much better. So maybe you could talk a bit about what they are and how they're doing.
You know, I actually have an amendment to that. It's not that they're doing better. At the time, that's the way it seemed, because I had one up there. And I know your podcast isn't marked as explicit, so I will self-censor here. But the name of the one was The Universe Doesn't Give a Flying F About You. Expletive. And I think that that's a case of good headline writing. That's the one that was really performing at the time. And since then, I had several blogger Julian Smith from inoveryourhead.net challenged me to, quote, level it up, Brosef. So I was supposed to write more epic stuff. And so that post was my first rise to that challenge, and then I wrote several others. So I wrote one called Disobey. I wrote one called You're Dying and Your Life is a Lie. And then I had one the other day called How to Stop Buying into BS, which I haven't put up yet. And so I thought those four are kind of these big, like they're epic, you know, like big thought sorts of things. And so three of those have gone out, all but the last. And the one that continues to sell, even after a significant amount of time, more than any of the others, and less than the Bialy Pimps, the one that sells the most, the one that sells the most does sell much more, and that's the Universe one. It sells about three times as many as my novel does. And I think, based on the fact that Disobey and the other one aren't rising to that level, it isn't the nonfiction, and it isn't, you know, whatever category they're in, because they're all in the same category. They're all entrepreneurship. And they're all self-help. I think it's because of that headline. I think it's because people look at that and they're like, whoa, like, you know, I mean, that's just copywriting 101. People look at that headline and they're like, the universe doesn't give a F about me. Like, I have to check that out. And so they do. But I have not promoted that. So the story behind that, if I'll go into it briefly here, is that that was a post on my blog. And it was actually Sean's idea. He believes in repurposing content. So I took the same thing and I stuck it up on Kindle for 99 cents. And now, up until recently, it was available on Kindle and my blog. And then I said, I'm going to try the KDP Select thing and I'm going to make it free. Well, what I forgot is that I have to take it off of my blog. So I hope the Kindle people aren't listening, but I put a message up there saying, hey, you can just email me and get it for free, because I felt like a jerk asking them to pay for it. but anyway, so I had that, I put that up there and I didn't tell people about it because it was on my blog. Like, why would I? Why would I promote it? And it just on its own with zero promotion, with zero with me telling about it, it's just continued to do very well. And then when I did my last free promo, it went up to number 3 in entrepreneurship, again, with no push. It was really cool.
And that, I mean, it's interesting, right? Because I bought that one. And I think you're right about the copywriting. The headline makes a big difference. But also for me, it was that I am aware of your brand. And therefore, I was interested in what you were saying in accordance with your brand. Whereas for me, I don't, you know, the humor stuff isn't so much me, but I was interested in what you had to say about the self-help thing. So I think that's also interesting that that kind of ties in. But what you also did in there is you included a section on the Bialy pimps, didn't you? You said, buy this, you know, if you'd like this, you could try my novel.
Yes. Which is, I don't know that it makes a lot of sense because the tone of the post of the universe one is very serious.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, my first non-5-star review, because that's another thing that happens if you have an established brand, then I'm not complaining, but like everybody gave me 5-star reviews. And the first review that I got that wasn't a 5-star was a 3-star. And he said, oh, it was awesome. It was a great read. But I'm giving it 3 stars because of how small it made me feel. And I'm like, well, that's the point. Like, that'd be like getting a humor or a horror book and saying, this is awesome, but it scared me. So I'm giving it lower stars. So I forget where I was going with that. But that's a very serious thing. And then my novel is the opposite. You know, it's very funny. And so, but I said, well, I got them, you know, they either liked it or they didn't, and it's certainly not going to hurt. So I put a teaser at the end, and I think I've done that. I've done that with all of them. And then I've included a call to, you know, to my website and that sort of thing, which is probably why the subsequent ones in the Epic series don't sell, because they probably go to my website and see that they're up there for free.
Yeah, no, but I wanted to point that out to everyone, that you're using something that is, you know, a bit more successful to on-sell, you know, or to at least get some attention to the other books. So everyone should definitely pick that one up. Now, I also wanted to ask you, now, Johnny B. Truant is not your real name. It is a pseudonym, and I'm not outing you or anything. Everyone knows it's online. So you use this pseudonym online and you're using it for your fiction. Now, I have a lot of authors who use pseudonyms for their writing. What do you think are the pros and cons for using a pseudonym, and when should people consider it?
Well, I pretty much am Johnny B. Truant at this point. So it's not the name I was born with. It's not the name my wife or my mother calls me. But it's pretty much who I am online. So in one sense, it's kind of like I'm not using a pseudonym for my fiction because I'm using the same name as I'm known with for everywhere else. Now, let me address this first, because I think that some people, I know that I heard your story about how you use JF Penn because you're in a male-dominated niche, and that I totally get that. I think another school of thought that some people would have is they'd say, I've written a humor novel, and I'm known for this sort of human potential stuff. So maybe I would want to use a pseudonym. But I'm sort of going with the Isaac Asimov model, which says that I'm just going to write what I'm going to write, and I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to write nonfiction essays. I'm going to write this. The novel I'm working on right now is sort of humor horror, if that makes sense. But who knows? I mean, maybe it'll trend more toward horror. I don't know. And I'll just release that along with it. But as far as using a pseudonym just in general, I've actually written about the story about why I did it. I wrote about it on Copyblogger in a post called How to Write Your Ass Off, which as far as I know is the only Copyblogger post with ass in the title. But the reason that I did it was because it wasn't because I was trying to hide my identity. It's because I used to write essays, and I would just distribute them via email. Like, I would go into Outlook and BCC everybody that I knew and send them these things. And I found myself self-censoring because you get very aware, well, like, my mother is reading this and my grandmother is reading this, or, you know, the person that I know down at the gym. And you write differently when you're aware that these people are going to, you know, run across to you and so forth. And so I did it specifically for that, to give myself the freedom to write what I wanted just within my own head. And what happened is, and I tell this story in that copy blogger post, is I found that I became sort of, I stepped easily into sort of a 110% version of myself in my writing personality. Mm-hmm. Like, what you see online is authentic, but it is not the boring parts of me. It's the more interesting sort of extreme parts of me. So I obviously have that side to myself, but I don't show the part where I'm going shopping, you know, online. But Johnny allows me to very clearly define, delineate between who I am every day and who I am online. And so just as a tool, for a creative tool, I think it's very helpful. I think it helps me to put that hat on.
Mm. No, that's excellent. And, a lot of obviously erotica writers do it for that, you know, kind of that same reason, so they don't have to censor themselves or be censored. And certainly I've considered it for some writing as well, so I think that's really good. I wondered, you know, just on that then, because I've recently started another blog which is for my readers, my fiction readers, so that's at jfpen.com. Mm-hmm. And it's quite different and difficult. Have you considered starting another blog? Sorry, did I say podcast? A blog?
No, I think you said blog.
Yeah. Have you considered starting another blog for your fiction readers?
You know, I heard that advice first from John Locke. Mm. And he talks about his whole marketing thing is that he wants to create a world around his fiction and showcase his writing. But if I'm not that I'm making John Locke like the Oracle, but the other thing that he says is he talks about a post that he wrote about who's the football coach, Joe Paterno. Well, that didn't end well, but at the time, like when he wrote his thing, like Joe Paterno didn't have this scandal around him. And so he wrote a post about how he loves Joe Paterno, which has nothing to do with his fiction. And the idea was, I'm going to showcase my writing style and attract people and so forth. So I think that my nonfiction blog does kind of the same thing, and it plays more into my holistic attitude toward writing anyway, which is I don't want to, and maybe this is a mistake, this is just how I'm doing it. I don't want to say, okay, so you're my fiction audience, I'm going to write to you, and you're my nonfiction audience, and I'm going to write to you. I'm just kind of throwing it all together, and we'll see. I don't know if that's a smart thing or not. It's also the same thing, and I'm actually curious as to your answer on this. Here, I'll interview you. You know, we both have podcasts that are speaking to writers, and I mean, I guess you do writer training and so forth, so it probably plays more into yours, but I don't. Mm. And so I'm like, well, I mean, it kind of makes sense, because it's just in the spirit of getting the word out there. But again, these are writers, not readers. I don't know. I guess I subscribe to People Are People, but maybe that's a mistake.
Yeah. And to be honest, I started my podcast about 3 years ago now, when I didn't know much at all. And one of the reasons for doing it was to actually meet people, you know, and now I'm meeting you. And so it's like I meet all of these brilliant people on the podcast. So it's basically selfish, because I really enjoy it and I get to ask people who know more and find out things. And then I put it out there as well, and it helps other people. So for me, the podcast isn't really marketing. It does act as marketing, but it's more self-development, I think.
You know, Joe Conrath talks about, he had a whole post about it, about how his fame, I'm putting this in quotes, as a self-publishing guy, because for anybody who doesn't know, Joe Conrath is like the self-publishing, like he's holding the torch for the rest of us. And he said that that's not where people are buying his books from, that it's the readers who are buying his books. But I don't know that I'd buy that. I mean, I'm not going to question Joe, and I'm sure he knows what he's talking about. Definitely he's a smart guy. Mm. But you aren't going to know if somebody learns about who you are through something that you're doing that way, and then becomes a reader and then buys your book. I mean, I bought his book just out of curiosity, and I'm not a thriller reader. It was like, okay, I'm reading this guy's blog. I'm going to check out one of his books. It's $3. What do I care? And I think that's sort of the way that I'm approaching it, and I guess we'll see if it works. But I figure somebody can read me for this, and then they end up saying, well, okay, well, I'm going to move into this pool, and who knows how they intermingle.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. And really, I also took John Locke's advice on doing the reader blog, but I'm actually really enjoying it. And I blog about things like religion, and I visited the Grand Temple of the Freemasons in London the other week, and talking about that on my writer's blog just wouldn't work. So for me, it's kind of a place where I talk about my obsessions that fuel my writing. But no, I totally can see where you're coming from on that. So just we'll finish up soon, but I did want to ask you about writing humor and, you know, being funny. Now, this is something I know nothing about. I'm just not a funny person. But it fascinates me how you can write in a humorous way. Do you have any tips about that?
You know, I wish I knew an answer to that, because I've heard from a lot of people. John Morrow said that he doesn't. For anybody who doesn't know, he's an internet marketing guy. He's a copywriter guy, and from my other life. And John says that he can't use humor, like even in his own stuff, because it gets him in trouble. And I think a lot of people feel that way, that they say that humor is dangerous. And I use it both in my book and I use it in my marketing. So I will send out emails to my list about serious business stuff, and I'll say something that's absurd or hopefully funny. But I never quite know what it is that makes something funny. I think it's something that you can hear. I guess I would say that. I guess I would say most people, if they're honest, can probably write something and then read it back and know honestly whether it's funny or not, if they're honest with themselves. Now, as to how to develop that, I don't know, but I think you can avoid sending out something that that isn't funny. I know this is like the least helpful answer ever. It's just something that I hear in conversations between people. I have a real fondness for the absurd. Like if something doesn't make sense. So for instance, in my book, in the Bialy Pimps, some of the characters dream up this device called the face kicking machine. And the face kicking machine is this device where you would put your face into it, like maybe one of those glaucoma test machines at the eye doctor, and then pull a lever. This is the person who has their face in the machine, pulls a lever, and there's a spring-loaded boot that kicks them in the face. And that's like, I mean, I guess it's funny. Hopefully it's funny. But it also just doesn't make any sense. It's like, what the hell is that about? And I think that bizarre can be done as funny as well. But man, you can really trip over it too. So I'm sorry, Joanne. I don't know that I have a good answer for you.
No, I think what I really got from this interview, I think, and I hope other people have too, is that to bring your whole personality into your writing and your blogging and everything. So that being authentic, even though you use a pseudonym, to me is your message. Would that be right?
Oh, well, yeah, because I mean, I think that ultimately I think that the reader connects with the writer's intentions. So usually it's the writers who really engage people. I feel it's because there's some base message in the book that you know that the writer feels. I mean, think about, this is probably not a great example because it was purported to be a true book, but that Million Little Pieces book, yeah. It was a big deal with Oprah. Great story. I haven't read it. I've heard it's a great story. But then when people found out it wasn't real, they had a problem with it. Now, it not being real doesn't change the story. And if it were said as fiction, then maybe he wouldn't have gotten in trouble. But I think that there's some degree of genuineness, and you lose some connection with the writer when you realize that, oh, that person, I don't know if I'm describing this well, you start to realize that person didn't really, they're faking it, you know? It's like, if I had, you know, there's some stuff that comes up in my book that's about, conformity and fame. And if I was just riding a wave, if that was like a popular thing, like teenage vampires, and I said, I'm going to write about conformity and fame, but people knew I didn't really feel it, then I think that would be something that would be lost in the book. And I think that's some of what you're talking about. So the truer, I mean, it's fiction, but the truer your own motivations and so forth, your own feelings you can bring to fiction, I think that people can recognize that. And maybe that's why my blog works, even though it's not about the world of my book.
No, fantastic. Right, so where can people find you and the podcast and your books?
Well, you can find me at johnnybtruant.com, J-O-H-N-N-Y, btruant.com. And my book is in the sidebar and so forth. It's called The Bialy Pimps. The podcast that we just launched it's selfpublishingpodcast.com. It's not a very exciting name, but it does accurately describe it. Can I add a little PS, actually?
Yes.
There's something that you said earlier that I just wanted to underscore because you said it and I didn't and I should have. And that's that a lot of what I've done is, so for instance, with the little singles things, even though they're not technically singles, the epic posts, that was not, I'm not trying to make money on those. This is all about developing, leading the reader to where we want to go. And I think that series writers can learn from that. I mean, you're doing that. You're always teasing to the next thing. And thinking about where you want to lead the reader, I think, is really important, too. Do you want them to sign up to your list? Do you want to keep developing a relationship with them over Twitter or something like that? And so I just wanted to underscore that. I think that a book that tries to stand alone as an island with nothing leading to it or from it, I think, has a really hard time.
Brilliant. Well, thanks ever so much for your time, Johnny.
Thanks, Joanna, for having me on.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You can get more information on writing, publishing options, sales, and promotion for your book at www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And you can also get your free How to Be an Author workbook at www.howtobeanauthor.com. See you next time.